Okay, so we are holding on Ches on the Beis.
We're holding on Ches on the Beis about the 10 lines, the narrow line.
Line begins not. Okay, we started discussing yesterday what happened when the Romans
they joined forces together with the Jewish people, and they said for the first
26 years they kept up their end of the deal and treated the Jews as equal partners in the relationship, and then afterwards they started lording it over them. I was discussing at the very end yesterday, by the way, the fact that historically it seems they only actually fully took over Eretz Yisrael about 130 years before the Churban. I was mentioning that maybe just 180 years before, what our Gemara is saying is they started acting more like the senior partner in the relationship. I was thinking also, I have an idea in it, that around that time, 180 years before the Churban, is about when Yochanan Hyrcanus, the grandson of Matathiahu, who was ruling at that time, that's about when he joined forces with the Tzedukim. What I'm saying, about 180 years before the Churban. So you're talking about 110 BCE or so.
Right.
So could be once the Tzedukim are his supporters and they're the ones running things, and maybe they kind of allowed the Romans to take more of a leading role in things, sort of like, you know, same way as you have various Israeli governments that have allowed America and Europe and whatever to dictate to them. Maybe here was the same kind of thing. Anyway. Okay. So Esther and Vashish Shin to come over him and decide about Israel. This is what we're saying. For 26 years, they kept faith with the Jewish people and did not try to lord it over them. Manolam, where do we get that figure of 26 years from? So it's going to take a while to explain how we get that 26 years. It's like this. The Omer of Kahana. When Rabbi Shmuel bar Yosi, this is the son of the regular Rabbi Yosi, the Tana, when he was sick, Sholchulei, they sent him a message. Rebbe, ever one of Shnayim Shloimu Gimel Zonim Shalmatol Onim Shumah Bicha. Tell us over two things that he previously told us over in the name of your father. His father, Rabbi Yosi, was an expert on history in particular. Rabbi Yosi is actually the author of Seder Olam, which is a medrash that Darshan Pesukim and all to arrive at all the famous things that we know that this event in Tanakh happened in this year and that happened in that year, some of which we're going to deal with in the Gemara later, how we know what year Yetzias Mitzrayim was and what year the building of it. He wrote that Seder Olam, so he was an expert on these things. So now the Chachamim are asking his son, Rabbi Shmuel, you previously told us things that your father taught us in this connection. And we're not so clear on them. Can you tell them to us again now that you're sick? And they obviously didn't know whether he's going to make it. So therefore, yeah. Sure. What? It doesn't say how old he was. I think, in fact, Tosafot talks about elsewhere that we find different places. Them different things on this. So maybe there were different times when he was sick. And every time he was sick, they figured this might be it. And we better grab the opportunity. Okay. Amalavu, so he sent to them a message back as follows. Mayo Shmonim Shana Kurdim Shanakura Bay, it's 180 years before the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed. Pashta Malchus HaRashah Al Yisrael, the wicked government, meaning the Romans, dominated over Eretz Yisrael. That's 180 years before. Pei Shana. So far we know that's 180 years. We still have to figure out where we get that 26 years before that. How do we see that? It was back the 26 years before that they kept their end of the deal, right? That's what we're going to get to soon. Hey Shana Avle Chorabayis, 80 years before the Churban, Gozra Tumal Eretz Amim Val Place Chokas. The Chachamim made a Gzera that Eretz Amim, the land of the Goyim outside Eretz Yisrael, are Tomei. The Gemara elsewhere talks about there were two stages. And first, they declared that the dirt in it is Tomei. So if you touch the dirt of it, you're Tomei because it's concerned Goyim bury their dead anywhere, and therefore there might be bones or whatever. Later on, we don't know when they say the Gzera over here, we don't know whether it's the first or the second stage, but at some point, at some other time, they made a gzera that even the air of it is tamei. So even if a person were to go there, let's say, in a closed-up box or whatever, they would be tamei, midrabbanan. So they made that gzera. The gzera still exists, yeah. I mean, practically speaking, we're all tamei mess anyway, because we're on a far adroma, but yeah.
But
then the idea that the lands have tumah, yeah.
So Mashiach will...
What will happen when Mashiach comes? I don't know. I guess when Mashiach comes, we'll find out. Anyway, so that's the Tumal Eretz Amim Val Place Chokas, and also glass vessels. Hello? That glass vessels are all Midatoda, they can't be from Tomei. Midrabanan, they took the view that glass is made from molten sand. So in that case, somewhat like earthenware, which is made from fired clay. So therefore, there's enough similarity between them that the Chachamim felt the need to make a gzeira that glassware can become tamei. So that all that took place 80 years before the Chorban. If you take one of these, we're going to be referring to them later. Okay. All right. Mem shana ad lo chorav abayis, 40 years before the Chorban. Golsa Sanhedrin v'yoshva lo b'chanus. The Sanhedrin exiled itself from Lishkas HaGozis and moved to Chanus, which is an area, some other place on the Harabai. Chanus is a big new store, so the back was an area of stores, of storehouses, or whatever. So the question... Well, indirectly, yes. One second. The Maya Hill, well, indirectly, yes, because we're going to say the result of that was that they weren't able to judge Dinin Nefashis. And so at the end of Sota, the Gemara talks about, because what happened was that murder was becoming very rampant. Masama, yeah, because at that time the Romans were ruling and things were going haywire or whatever, and therefore there were powerful people doing committing murder, so they couldn't bring to justice, and therefore they figured better we just move from Lishkas HaGozis, and that way it's out of our hands. That way it's purely in Hashem.
Because
out of Lishkas HaGozis, they can't judge it, as the Gemara is going to discuss at the end, although the Gemara is going to interject a little bit first, a little bit of a side thing, but yeah. Tosfos actually discusses over here and elsewhere that maybe there were times, even during those 40 years, maybe temporarily, they did return, actually not over here, but Tosfos talks about elsewhere, that maybe there were temporarily times when they returned to the Lishkas HaGozis, but basically they were gone from there. Okay. Lamaisa, so what's the relevance as far as halacha of this fact that they left the Lishkas HaGozis? That comes to teach us that from then on, they didn't judge the cases of knas. For example, no, well, that's why we're right. So you might ask, what do you mean? The dinik knossus. What do you mean they didn't judge dinik knossus? For example, onus, mefasa, the case where an ox gores an eved and you have to pay 30. Knas basically being, again, any case where you're not paying the actual amount of the damage, but some fixed amount in the Torah or some multiple or half or whatever. It can't be. It can't be. Dinik knossus was still taking place long after that. We know that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Bram, in truth, Zohar Oyser Ishlato, we learned this in Sanhedrin as well. We should remember this person for good, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shema, his name is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Sheol Molehu, if it hadn't been for him, the Shtakhu Dinik Knossos Yisrael, Dinik Knossos would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. And the Gemara interjects, what do you mean, Shtakhu? What do you mean they would have been forgotten? Ligrasinu, all people have to do is continue studying them. Why hadn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava make it that these Dinim are not going to be forgotten? El or no, what we need to say is both were Dinik Knossos in Israel. If it hadn't been for him, Dinik Knossos would have ceased to exist. They wouldn't have been able to judge such cases anymore.
Why?
Because you need smicha. You need smicha ish mi piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu. And should Gozra Malchus HaRashah Zera, the wicked government, the Romans, made a Zera. Now this is talking 50 or 60 years after the Chorban. That's the point. That's the Gemara's point, that Dinik Knossos are still taking place long after 40 years before the Chorban, because they're still taking place 100 years later and beyond that. So they made a gzera. Anybody who gives smicha will be executed. Anybody who receives smicha will also be killed. The city where the smicha takes place will be destroyed. The tchum Shabbos around the city where this takes place will be uprooted. In other words, they completely wanted to outlaw smicha. That's it. Ma also Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Not at least if they did, it's not recorded. But. Ma also Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim. Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim gedolim. Let me rest sat between two big mountains in a place where they're not going to easily. Between two big cities. So this way, neither city can be held responsible for it. Ben Beit Tchumei Shabbos, and between the two Tchumei Shabbos of these cities, again, far enough away from both of them, Ben Usha L'Shfaram, so between the cities of Usha and Shfaram, which are two cities in the Galil, the Samach Sham Chamisha Skenim, and there Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave smicha to five Skenim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Chamor, and Rabbi Ivya Moshe Bakar Nechemi. Rabbi Ivya adds that there was a sixth one also, there was Rabbi Ivya. No. They gave them smicha. Once they have smicha, as we learned the Sanhedrin, in principle, they could. When the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkas HaGozis, they could even judge Dinei Nefashos. When not, they can judge Dinei Knossos. They can be Matir B'chur. They can,
It's a general smicha.
It's a general smicha, yeah. But yeah, we learned in the Sanhedrin there can be smichas for specific purposes. The Pashtos, these were general smichas, yeah. But in particular, if it weren't for smicha, you can't judge dinei knossos without smicha, as we learned in Sanhedrin and as we've learned in many places. So therefore, that's the point. If it hadn't been for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, smicha would have gone extinct.
You cannot judge anything without
smicha. No, you can. No. You have the smicha nowadays. You have the which is really hatorah torah, which is a rav, a rebbe gives permission to his talmid to be able to judge cases of halacha. You're allowed to rabbanim nowadays judge cases of dinei momonos, but only cases of momon, not knas. So, for example, you have again, you know, you have a case, for example, a person steals. They can make him pay back the actual amount. That's momon, but they can't make him pay the double product, the double payment that it says in the Torah, because that second amount would be knas. That's knas. Even among dinei momonos, we talked about at the beginning of Sanhedrin, Tosfos talks about over there that they that dayanim nowadays are only allowed to judge common cases, not even ones that are momon, but are not quite so common. They can put the person in a chayrim. Yeah, chaymish is another. The chaymish is for sure knas. Okay. So anyway, so he gave smicha to these five or six chacham. Kivin shi kiru b'ham oivim. Then the enemies, the Romans, realized that somehow that they were there. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava realized, heard that they're coming. Amar lahem banai ru. So he tells them, my sons, run away. Amar lo Rebbe v'ata matahe alecha. So they say to him, Rebbe, what's going to happen with you? You can't run away. You're too old. Amar lahem, he says, hareini muta lefnehem ke'evan she'en lahoifchin. I will lie here in front of them like a stone that can't be turned over. I'll lie here. I'll block the way. So this way you guys can get away safely, and me, don't worry about me. No, not with miracles. Just he's ready to go on the Siddur Nefesh. He's one of the Asar Arugim Alphas. He's one of the 10 Chachamim in that period who were killed by the Romans. But it's interesting the expression that he uses that I'll be like a stone. There's an interesting thing that's brought from Rishonim that says that when a Yid takes on himself, fully agrees, fully decides mentally that he's going to be ready to die al Kiddush Hashem. Then, no matter what he goes through, whatever tortures or whatever, he doesn't feel it. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, therefore describing himself. Whatever the Romans are going to do to me, I'm going to be like a stone, he said.
So we say that Rabbi Akiva had tremendous suffering.
And the Talmidim saw that it looked like he was suffering. It doesn't say that he himself was saying, Shema, he himself was saying, I've been waiting my whole life for this opportunity. Yeah, there's no point. He was old, I guess. Yeah, he couldn't make it anyway. Okay. Omru, so they said, Lazozu Misham, they, the Romans, did not move from there. Achinotel Gupim Gimumeus Wolnius Shabazel, they pierced his body with 300 iron spears. Vasaul the Gupim Kikvara, and they made his body like a sieve full of holes. The point is, though, that so he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, the five or six Talmidim were saved, and they're the ones who continued smicha for generations after that. So therefore, the point is that there was Dinei Knossos taking place long after the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazit. So what are you saying, that because they left the Lishkas HaGazit, there are no Dinei Knossos? Don't say the word, the proper wording is not that they didn't judge Dinei Knossos after that. Ella Shaladon or Dinei Nefashos. What it is they didn't judge Dinei Nefashos anymore. So, yeah. My time, why is that? So we're just saying, given the Chazit and official little rights, they saw at this point, 40 years before the Churban, there are many murderers. And they're not able to judge them because these people are too powerful and well-connected and whatever. Or maybe even, it might not even be that. It might just be the fact we learned in Marcus that a Beis Din is not supposed to carry out the death penalty too often. It does it even once in 7 years, it's considered a murderous Beis Din, etc. So it may just be that the case volume was so great that they wouldn't be able to handle it.
Because
then they'd be a Beis Din. So it could be that, or it could be because Pashas, they couldn't get after these people because they're powerful and well-connected, and they couldn't be, yeah. Okay, but then what, you're going to be doing favoritism? No, they just figured they better wash their hands of the whole thing. Amru, so they said, Mutav Nigli Mimakav Lamakav, better we should go in Golos from one place to another, from Lishkas HaGazit to Chanus, and then later on from there to Yerushalayim, and in Rosh Hashanah it mentions over the next 100 years or so to a bunch of places where they... Yeah. This way they're not obligated to judge. This way they're not the roitzchim, the murderers are not liable to the death penalty because you can only judge even if the small Sanhedrins are in their original places, as long as the national Sanhedrin, as long as the Sanhedrin Gdola is not Melushkas HaGazit, then all Sanhedrins all over the world lose their power to do dini nefashos. So like this, they left Melushkas HaGazit this way. Since we can't deal with the increase in murderers and the increase in Indian oppressors, so therefore all the other ones,
lose their power.
Right. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, "V'asita al pi'adavar ashi yagidu l'cham in a makom ahu." As the pasuk says, you should do according to the word that they tell you from that place. That place, meaning the Lushka Sagar, this Malama Chamakam Gurdim, which teaches us that the place is what makes, is what gives them their authority to be able to judge Din Nefashis. So if they're not in their place, then they can't.
Just got it back.
What?
We just got it back.
Which is that? I don't
know.
Sure. Right. Okay. Misa, yeah.
In other words, if they were sitting there, if they were like the basis, they would carry the Misa, they have to die.
Right, then like this. So, but like this, they can't because under the circumstances. So therefore, better to just wash their hands of it. Right.
But it looks like it's a blemish. Why should we hurt?
It's not that. Of course not. No, but the thing is, we learned in Sanhedrin. We learned in Sanhedrin that once a case is started, a dayan is not entitled to say, you know what, I'm afraid of this guy. He's powerful. He may harm me. He may harm my son or whatever. But before the case is started, he's entitled to recuse himself. That's basically what it is. Before the case is going to start, they're recusing themselves by moving from Lushka Sagar.
For different reasons.
Yeah. Okay. But still, it's the same point there. Okay, so now that we established that, now that we quoted this whole braisa that Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi quoted in the name of his father, and we analyzed it, now we get back to the question, Meo Shmoni Matuloi, are you telling me the Romans only started taking over in Eretz Yisrael 180 years before the Churban? No more than that. Valtani Rav Yossi Berebi, but Rav Yossi Berebi taught a braisa as follows. Rav Yossi actually is Berebi. Berebi is not necessarily the son of Rebbe. Berebi is usually spelled, sometimes means the great one. Hello? So Rav Yossi Berebi would mean the great Rav Yossi. Anyway, he taught a braisa as follows. How do we summarize? What are the names? What are all the kingdoms that ruled over the Jewish people during the period of the Second Beis Hamikdash? So this is the first chart that I made over here. Malchus Paras Bifnei Abayis Shloshim Ba'Arba Shana. The kingdom of Persia ruled during the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash for 34 years. They had ruled for some years before that. They had ruled for 18 years before that. But the Second Beis Hamikdash, they started building it in the year 3408. In 3442, they were overthrown. So 34 years. Malchus Yavan Bifnei Abayis Meo Shmonim Shana. Then you had the Greeks for 180 years, from 3442 to 3622. Then you can find all these things that you can find them in Seder Adonis. You can find them in many spots. Also, you see it from Argamara over here. Argamara is from Argamara. You get all these figures. Malchus Chashmonoi b'fnei Abayis Meyav Shalosh. Then the Chashmonoim ruled while the Beis Hamikdash was standing for 103 years. So that's from 3622 until 3725. And then Malchus Beis Hurdus, Meyav Shalosh, and then the kingdom of Hurdus and his successors and whatever is another 103 years, from 3725 until 3828, which is when the Second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So you have 34, 180, 103, and 103, totals 420, which is the length of time, the number of years that the Second Beis Hamikdash stood. Mind you, I mean, this isn't really the place to talk about it at length, but Goyisha historians, secular historians, have assigned a much longer period to the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash, and in particular, they assign a much longer period to the time of the Persians. They claim the whole Persian Empire, unlike we say it was 52 years, 18 before the Beis Hamikdash and 34 after it, they say it was some 200 years. So, that doesn't work with our figures, of course not. So, yeah, but there's a huge amount of ink has been spilled on trying to reconcile them. Among the many other answers, I think the question goes all the way back to the time of Rav Tzadia Gaon, at least. I think he's the first one who deals with it. That maybe what it is some of the Persian kings that secular historians think were separate kings may have been overlapping in different parts of the empire. They may be different names for the same king. You may have that they began becoming a world power while the Babylonians still ruling over Eretz Yisrael and most of the rest of the world, etc.
We never signed up to lots of certain Persian kings in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, of course they have. They found lots of
Persian kings.
Yeah, well, yeah. They ruled over it. Sure, they found coins. They found manuscripts. They found all kinds of things. Yeah. Okay. So that's 420. After that, you can go figure out, after the 103 of Hurdus and his successors, after that, in 3828, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now, from that time and on, go figure out how many years it is since the Churban. In Eretz Yisrael, in particular, they found inscriptions, they found gravestones and whatnot. In Eretz Yisrael, for hundreds of years, that was the most common way of counting the years they did, was by the years of the Churban. They found gravestones that Pliny passed away in the year 504 since the Churban, etc., that sort of thing. So like this, if you want to know, so like this, in other words, what Rabbi Yossi is saying in this Braita, you want to know how many years it is since the second Beis HaMikdash was built, so you have 420 of the second Beis HaMikdash divided among these four kingdoms that we said. Then, from then until now, is however many years that however many years it is until now.
So 3828 is roughly
3828 is
1800 years.
It's over 1900 years ago. In secular years, 3828 corresponds to the year 68 of the Common Era. But we'll talk later whether it actually does or not. We'll get to that. But we'll get to that point later on the debate. No, it means the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 68. And now is 19. That's, we'll get to that on Amud Beis. Hold that thought. The general rule is you take the Jewish year and subtract 3760 from it, and you get the secular year, unless it's before January 1st, and then you have one difference. So now it's 5778 plus 3760 gives you 2018.
Okay.
Okay. So the point is. Alma Mosin Veshitavu. So you see from that the Hashmonoim took over 206 years before the Churban, because 103 of the Hashmonoim and 103 of Hordus makes 206. And we said before that when the Hashmonoim beat the Greeks, they did it together with the Romans. So now we have the question, so what do you mean that the Romans took over 180 years before? It comes out, according to this, that the Romans took over 206 years before. So you, in Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi's statement, he was saying only 180. Ella, no, that's now how we see how we get the 26 years. 206 minus 180 is 26. Esrin v'shis shnin kamu behem v'nusayu b'hadi Yisrael. For 26 years, they kept faith with the Jewish people. V'lo yishtabdu b'hu, they did not subjugate them. V'am tu l'hochi l'kakoshim l'huk shaposhim ha'afas ara Yisrael. Therefore, when Rabbi Shmuel is quoting his father as saying, when did the Romans start dominating Eretz Yisrael, he's not counting those 26 years. Because those 26 years, they were jointly together with the Hashmonaim. So that's how we get that it was 26 years, by taking when the Hashmonaim took power, which is 206 years before the Churban, versus when the Romans started dominating, which is 180 years. The difference is 26 years. That's the 26 years. That's how we see the 26 years that we mentioned before. That's how we know. No, we were asking before, how do we know Dafka was 26 years? That's how we know, from when the Hashmonaim took power until the Romans started dominating. The difference between those two, 206 and 180, is 26 years.
So it fits.
That's exactly the point. So now we've proved that point. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to get into a little bit about converting. You were just asking about converting between Jewish and secular days. Obviously, the Gemara is not dealing with that, but the Gemara is going to deal with converting between three different dating systems that they used in those days. You have the counting since the creation of the world, which they knew of, and the Gemara is going to mention it soon, but it wasn't very commonly used. Then you had, I mentioned that in Eretz Yisrael, the most common way to count was according to the Churban, and the Braita that we just quoted implies that, because you're saying, now go see how many years is it since the Churban, and you'll know what year you are. You'll know what year you have. So there was that. So there's years since the creation of the world. There's years since the second Churban. And by the way, in Sfarda Kehillahs, in Yemenite Kehillahs, the minig is that every Tisha B'Av they announce after Kina, after Esa, and after Kina, they announce it's now X number of years since the Churban by exchange. So this way everybody knows. So you have those. And then there was a third kind of counting that they used in those days, which is called Minyan Yuvanim or Minyan Shtaris. Minyan Shtaris, because they use it in general in writing documents. You can see the third line of my table over here. It counts from the year 3448, which is when the Greeks started ruling over the entire world. The fact that it's 1,000 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we'll deal with that later on Yodam Adalim. The Gemara is going to deal with the importance of that fact. But right now, the point is, so then there began a new era. It's brought to Sparim that the idea of it is, there's a famous story when Alexander the Great conquered Eretz Yisrael, and we know from the Gemara the story of when Shimon HaTzadik went and met him, and Alexander bowed to him, etc. So then, the Josephus tells the continuation of the story that Alexander wanted to have a statue of himself set up in the Beis HaMikdash, just like he did everywhere else he went. And Shimon HaTzadik told him, of course, nothing doing. However, we'll make a memorial for you. That from now on, all the boys born to the Kohanim during the coming year will be named Alexander after you. That's how Alexander became a Jewish name. And that will begin counting a new era according to now when you conquered, when you took over. So that's this era over here from 3448. So that became called Minyan Shtaray. So that, yeah, so countermark. Yeah, again, here's another one of the things where secular historians disagree on that. Secular historians claim that actually Alexander the Great was dead by that point, and this era counts actually from when one of his generals took over and created his empire, the Seleucid Empire, which eventually included out Israel. But our sources say it's when Alexander the Great conquered the whole world. Anyway, so from then there began a new era. It was called Minyan Shtaris. In Babel, in the times of the Gemara, and for a long time afterwards, that was the standard era that they used, especially for documents. That's why it's called Minyan Shtaris. In some places in the world, they used it even, the Rambam refers to it a couple of times in Yad HaZakah, so it was still in use in his time. Actually, in Egypt, they were still using it a few hundred years after the Rambam's time. They used it in Egypt until the 1500s, and then the Radvaz got them to stop and start using Bria Sa'olam, which by that time most of the Jewish world did. The Yemenites, some Yemenites still use it nowadays. Anyway, that's Minyan Shtaris. So the Gemara is now going to talk about converting between these three different dating systems. So I'm going to pop up. Itoi Hai Tana. Suppose now the Tana who was teaching this Braisa before. Now when we said in the Braisa on the fifth line here of Testament Aleph, we said Sei b'chashoyv kama shonim acha korban bayis, go calculate how many years it is after the korban. Means in other words that when a Tana is repeating over this Braisa, he's supposed to update it. He's supposed to say, and now is X number, now is so and so many years after the korban. So suppose now he gets confused and he doesn't remember how many years it is. How do you figure it out? Lishayli with Safra Kamaksiv, he should ask the sofer who writes documents for people, like Shtoros, Wills, Ksubas, whatever, which are always dated. And again, they're dated according to Minyan. No, they don't know the years of Korban, but they know the years of Shtoros. The sofer writes according to the years of Shtoros. The important point is it started 380 years before the Churban. You can see on the third to bottom line over here, you can see that 3828, the year of the Churban, which is the year zero of the era of the Churban, is the year 380 of Shtaris, which 380 is 400 minus 20, which is why the Gemara is going to say that it's a difference of 20. So what you do is, like this. So the Tana should ask the Sofer, Kamaksiv, he should ask him this year, what's the figure that you're writing in your Shtaris? What year L'Shtaris are you currently writing? V'nitfi alayu esrin shnin, then he should add, he should ignore the hundreds, take the tens and the units and add 20 to them. U'mashkach le'vachumre, and then he will find his knot, in other words, his sum. In other words, the theory a bit is like this. You can see on the bottom line of the table. Suppose, for example, that the sofer tells him, this year I'm writing this the year 720 of Shtaris. So ignoring the hundreds, we assume a person knows what century he's in. So in other words, the Tana is not, it's not that the Tana is not sure whether it's 300 some or 400 some years since the Korban. He's just not sure. Is it 340, is it 350, is it whatever. So the sofer tells him, currently I'm writing 720. So fine, ignore the 700. 20 plus 20 equals 40. Okay, that tells me we're 40 years into the current century since the Korban. And therefore, therefore he'll know. Again, the centuries he knows. All he needs to know is the tens in the unit. So like this, he'll be able to figure it out. He'll take the seven, you take the 20, and you add another 20 to it. Yeah. And that way he has his complete figure. So that way, now when he quotes the Braisa, now he'll be able to say it's now 340 years since the Korban, for example. Because again, we assume he knows that it's 300 and some. Yeah. Okay. And the Simonach, and a way to remember how much he should ask the sofer, that then he's going to, the Simon, to remember how much he needs to add to the figure the sofer gives him, is, as the Pasuk says, Zeli Eshim Shana Bavesecha. This Yaakov says to Lavan, I'm 20 years now in your house. So that helps us remember 20 years. In fact, Rabbi Hanano points out that it has directly to do because it's Bevesecha means the Bes Mikdash. I need 20 in order to find Bevesecha, in order to find how many years is it since the destruction of Hashem's house. So therefore, that'll tell him, that'll remind him that you take the tens and the units from what the sofer tells him and add 20 to it. And what about the other way around? Itoi Safra, how about the other way around? If the sofer gets confused, he's not sure what year it is with Shtaris, so he can do the same thing in reverse. Nishaira L'Tana Kamachoshev, he'll ask the Tana who's teaching this Braisa. The Tana will tell him it's now 340 years since the Korban. Again, he'll ignore the 300. He'll take the 40. subtract 20 from it, and he'll get 20. And again, the centuries he knows it's 700 and some. He just took out the tens and the units, so now he knows 20. Same idea. Well, Mashkechoy l'chumre, and then the sofer will know what, and we'll have his calculation, and he'll know what to write. The simonach, and the way to remember which one is which.
So he needs the centuries, basically.
So he needs the centuries, but like this, the what the sofer tells him, he can calculate from it the tens and the units. Yeah. The simonach, the way to remember which one has to do which one, safra v'tzira, the sofer keeps it short. That, in other words, for example, Rashi says, when a sofer, besides he writes documents, he also writes Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Many words in the Torah are written chaser. You have a word like La'avei Sechem, for example, very often will be written without the vav. So therefore, the sofer keeps things short because he has to go according to the Masorah when a word is chaser. Tana Tosfa, whereas the Tana adds, because the Tana teaches Brisus and Tesefta. Tesefta means adding. Well, there's that also. There's the fact that he has to be clear, and therefore, like, he spells out the words in full. But more to the point, there's also what he teaches. Part of what the Tana teaches are brises that are in the collection called Tesefta. Tesefta means adding. Right. So that helps us remember that the Tana will have to add when he's calculating based on what the sofer told him. And vice versa, the sofer will have to subtract just as he keeps out letters, as he subtracts letters from the spelling of a word when he's writing a Sefer Torah. For that reason, I mean, Rashi points out, instead of mentioning 20, we could have just as well said 80, but 20 is less than 80. And besides, this way, once we have that the sofer subtracts 20 and the Tana adds 20, that helps us. It helps us remember with this kind of simon over here about what the sofer does and what the Tana does. So therefore, that's why we use the figure 20.
So if the sofer says,
for example, that now is the year, let's say 700, the shtaris, 700 the shtaris, right. So the Tana will know, therefore, that it's something 20.
Right.
Something 20, that we assume he knows what the something is. No, not 700, since the Churban we're talking about. We assume that he knows how many centuries it is since the Churban. He's just not sure. So the sofer tells him it's 720, so he says, okay, that means that it's something 40 since the Churban. What the something is, we expect that he's going to know. And vice versa, if the Tana says it's 340 since the Churban, then the sofer will say, okay, well, that means it's something 20 of Minyan Shtaris. Again, we assume he knows what the something is.
Okay. Still has to calculate the...
He still has to know the hundreds, but we assume everybody knows what century they're in. Okay. Here's another one. Tanad Ve'Eliyahu, they taught a braisa in the yeshiva of Eliyahu. Some people say that this is Eliyahu HaNavi, some people say it's a Tana of that name, whatever. We learned this in Sanhedrin as well. Sheshes alof shana havi olam. The world is destined to last for 6,000 years. Shnei alof and tohu. The first 2,000 were nothingness, meaning nothing really got accomplished much over there. There was no Torah yet. There's not much of anything. Shnei alof and Torah. The next 2,000 years are the years of Torah. Shneilah from Yemosa Mashiach, and the next 2,000 years are the years of Mashiach. The pastures, what that means is, in other words, that it doesn't mean that for after the year 4,000 is not time of Torah anymore. On the surface, what it means is up till that time is the time of Torah and not yet the expected time of Mashiach. After that, after the year 4,000 begins the time when we could be expecting Mashiach to come. Because of our averus, shirabu, which are so many, yotzumahen, mashi yotzumahen, such and such an amount of time has passed of it. Right now we're standing in the year 5778, so already 1700 and some years have passed of it. Back when the Gemara was written, obviously it was much less, but still, the point is that there's other explanations also. Marsha says the vote is that after the year 4000, the big yeshivas were starting to break up, especially in Israel. Jews are getting scattered more and more in Golos. Therefore, in that sense, like, you only have complete Torah, you only have like pure Torah up to the year 4000. After that, of course, you're still learning Torah, but not on the same level as before. So in that sense, we're not calling it years of Torah anymore.
So we're saying that after Mashiach, once Mashiach comes, on the one hand, the world will exist forever, but not longer than 6,000 years.
So we talked about this in Sanhedrin. We talked about there's the Gashmiastika world that we live in, and then there's what's going to happen with it afterwards. We talked about there, the Gemara talks about what's going to happen to it during the 7th millennium, during the 8th millennium, what's going to happen after that. We talked about the different opinions of Rishonim, partly based on what the Gemara says over there. Is there going to come a point when the world is actually is actually destroyed and recreated, or is it that it's still going to exist, but it's going to be on a whole different level, on a whole different roof,
nature
different level.
Change, but here
right.
We're in the world.
No, so that's what we mean. When we say Cheshas Alatam Shana Havya Olam, we mean according to the laws of nature that we're familiar with. That we have now, yeah.
Ah,
yeah. Okay. So anyway, then there's a third explanation also. The Chazan Ish has an interesting explanation what we mean when we say that the period of Torah ends with the year 4000. He says it means during that period is when the parameters of halacha are determined, for example, as far as Hilchos Tereis. So we know, for example, when it comes to Hilchos Tereis, that you have various conditions that make an animal Tereisa, 70 altogether that I'm on this. Now you have some of them, modern medicine will say an animal could survive them. And vice versa, there'll be conditions that nowadays modern medicine would say an animal will die from them, but they're not on the list of 70. The Rambam says, and this is halacha, it doesn't matter. We just go according to the list the Chachamim gave us. The Chazon Ish says that's why. Because when we say Shnei Alafim Torah, 2,000 years of Torah, from the year 2000 to the year 4000, it means after the year 4000, that's it. Even if there are new discoveries or whatever, after that time, doesn't change things. Whatever was considered fatal to an animal before the year 4000 is in the list of Shepherds. Whatever was discovered afterwards that isn't, is not part of that anymore. That's what it means, Shnei Alafim Torah, he says. Okay. Anyway. So.
The rules are set.
Yeah, the rules are set, yeah. Okay, so now let's analyze this braisa a little bit. Shnei alafim Torah me'emas. When did the 2,000 years of Torah begin? Inei mimi matan Torah. If you're going to say they begin from matan Torah, the problem with that is ad hashta lekakol hai. Then from then until now, you don't have a full 2,000 years. Deki ma'ainis lo tre alfi. Because when you look into it, it's not just Torah wasn't given in the year 2000, Prote Yahai Alpha. The Torah was given a certain period of time after the year 2000. It was given actually in the year 2448. So therefore, Rashi explains the question that if you're going to say that the period of Torah lasts only until the year 4000, then you don't have full 2,000 years of Torah, because you only have from 2448 until 4000, which is only 1,500 and some years, not 2,000. Some other Mephoshim explain the question is also that how can the Braisa be saying that the time of Mashiach has already started, the time when Mashiach should be coming has already started in the year 4000, but he hasn't come yet, if it's not even in the times of the Gemara, it wasn't even 2,000 years since the Torah was given yet. If the Torah was given in 2448, then it means 2,000 years after that is 4448. Rav Ashi, for example, passed away in the year 4187, so 260 years before that. So it's not enough. That's the Gemara's question. In other words, if you're saying the 2,000 years of Torah begin with Matan Torah, then number one, you don't have 2,000 years until the year 4000, and number two, you don't have 2,000 years until even now, until the time when the Gemara is being written. So what does it mean? So the answer is
4,000 would be 6448.
That's the question. In other words, right? So when we're saying the first 2,000 years of the world were Torah, the Gemara is assuming for purposes of the question that it doesn't mean exactly 2,000. That's rounding it off. It means really 2448 till the Torah was given. But the problem with that is that then the next 2,000 years haven't ended yet at the time the Gemara is written. So therefore, how can the Braisa be saying, Bavani Seinu, because of our Averis, we're already cutting into the 2,000 years of Mashiach, and they have to the 2,000 of Torah haven't even been finished yet. So the answer is, Ella, no. We're not counting from when the Torah was given. We're counting, Mi ve'efa nefesh asha osu b'choron. We are counting from when it says that Avraham and Sarah started creating the Shamas, meaning making people Gerim, teaching them Torah, in Choron, exactly. Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, Avraham ba'hi shaita ba'chamshin v'tavti hava, that at that time Avraham was 52 years old. Now, Rashi makes the calculation over here based on the Sukkim, that Avraham was born in the year 1948 from creation. So therefore, when he was 52, is the year 2000 since creation. That's when the Shnei Alafim Torah began. Not with the giving of the Torah 448 years later, but at this time when he started making Gerim over there in Chara.
So 1948
plus 52 equals 2000. So the year 2000. The actual year 2000 since creation is when Avraham began spreading knowledge of Hashem in the world, and that is when we count the 2,000 years of Torah beginning from. So that answers our questions. Well, therefore, the 2,000 years of Torah begin then. They end in the actual year 4,000, and therefore, fine, by the time the Gemara is being written, which is in the 4,100, 4,200 or whatever, indeed, we're cutting into Yom HaYisrael Mashiach, and therefore that's what the Gemara is saying, that Bava Niseinu, the 100 or 200 or whatever it is years of that period have passed, and Mashiach hasn't come.
Makes sense, because saying the Avos knew the Torah, they were learning
that's
Torah.
That's the point, right. Tosfos, by the way, points out that according to that, what you have to say is that that Avraham actually came to Eretz Yisrael a number of times. He came first, Tosfos learns, went at this point when he was 52. Later on, he left, and then he came back again in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, and Hashem tells him to go there when he's 75. Okay. So therefore, Kama Batran Midatani Tana. So therefore, how much do you have? How many years before? Now you were thinking the Tana was talking about the Shnei Alafim Torah, begin with the giving of the Torah. How many years before? How many years were you missing then of that millennium? Which it turns out that you should count because they're after the time that Abraham started making Gerim. Arba Meir Ba Arba Mitzmanis Shma Shat Shnin Havim. That's 448 years.
Abraham started in which year?
That's what we're saying. Abraham started in the year 2000. The Torah was given in the year 2448. So you were concerned that if you're saying Shnei Alafim Torah begins with the giving of the Torah, then you're 448 years short. Those 448 years are the very ones. Ki ma'ainas bei mivan nefesh sh'asav acharan matan Torah. If you analyze the amount of time from when Abraham started making these gerim until matan Torah, that's the exact amount. Avameyav avon v'tmaniyah shnei navin. It's exactly that amount, 448 years. Because Abraham began in the year 2000. The Torah was given in 2448. So there's your 448 missing years that you were worried about. So now that we understand that, now we have a third braisa. So this braisa we're seeing is talking about counting since the creation of the world, because that's what 2000 from the creation of the world, and then another 2000, and then another 2000. Now, this is another one of those braisas that's supposed to be updated all the time. Anytime a Tana is teaching it, he should say, let's say, for example, again, let's say they're standing in the year 4168, the bottom line of my table over here. So he should say, at the end of the braisa, it's supposed to be Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Yemos HaMashiach. Ba'avonisenu harabim, 168 of those years have passed, and Mashiach's not here yet. And he's supposed to update that every time he teaches the Braitha. So now what happens? Right, well, that's right. Same way as we were saying before about the Braitha involving the years of the Korban. So now, Omer HaPoka, Yitoi Tana, V'loyodi Prote Kamarabi. So now you have the same kind of thing. The Tana of this Braitha, suppose he gets mixed up. He's not sure what the tens and the units are. Again, he knows what century it is. He knows it's 4,100 and some years since the world was created, but he doesn't know whether it's exactly 68 or something else. How should he figure it out? L'shayla l'safra kamaksiv. Again, let him ask the sofer, the one who writes according to Minyan Shtaris, the middle column over, the second column over here. Ask him what figure is he writing in his Shtaris this year. V'nitfi alayu aboy matamni. Add to it 48.
We still keep the Shtaris that we write today, we still...
No, nowadays Shtaris are dated using years from creation, years from Birith.
Why we didn't keep them in the Shtaris?
Because eventually in the time of the Rishonim, Jews started counting from Birith.
So we lost them.
Yeah. So I said, in Egypt, they kept it until about 400 years ago, 400-500 years ago, and then the Radvaz made a takana that they shouldn't anymore in Yemen until very recent times, because he figured let them use Birith like the rest of the Jewish world. And in Yemen, they kept it until even more recent times. There's next to no Jews left in Yemen now. I don't know if the ones who are still there do, but up until fairly recently, when there were established Kehillot over there, yeah, they still use it. Anyway, okay. So the Papa again is saying, so the Tana who's teaching this Braisa is not sure what year it is, Libriya Sa'alam, its creation. He should ask the Sofer, what year are you writing in the Shtaris this year? Ignore the hundred. V'nitfi alayu aboyin v'tami. Add 48 to what the guy tells him. U'mashtach le'lechumre, and then he'll have his figure. In other words, we see over here. What year is it in Shtaris? The Sofer tells him 720. Okay, well that means it's something 68 since the creation of the world. That what century it is, I know what century it is. It's only the tens and the units I was having trouble with. The simonach, and the way to remember that you have to add 48 is, as the pasuk says, aboy moshmoina ir, you have 48 cities of the Levim. And vice versa, the itoi safra, what if the other way around? What if the sofer gets confused and forgets what year he's... 48. Because, and the reason why it is because we said minyan shtaris begin in the year 3448. So 48, there's our 48. That year was 3448 of creation. It was zero of shtaris. So therefore, there's always going to be a difference of 48. The E toy safra, and if it's the other way around, if the sofer is confused and forgets what year to write, Nishaila Latana, well, he forgets what year the shtaris it is. Nishaila Latana Kamakatani, let him ask the Tana, how many years are you saying in your braisa that it is since the year 4000, since Mashiach should have already come? And the guy will tell him 168, for example. The Niv Seminayu Aboy Mashmana, he'll subtract 48 from it. Okay, so you say, something 68. So that means for me, for my Sharet, it's something 20. And I know it's 720. Well, Mashka Chayla Chumra, and there he has it. Because you subtract 48. The Simonach, and again, the way to remember which one has to add, which one has to subtract, Safra B'sira, Tana Tesva, same as we said before, the Sofer writes the word shorter, the Tana teaches the Tesefta, and he makes the word longer to make them clearer. So therefore, that helps us remember that the Sofer has to add, that the Sofer has to subtract to get his figure, and the Tana has to add to get his figure. Yeah, B'sira, he has to subtract, it makes him smaller, and the Tana has to add to get his figure. Yeah, same idea as before.
So the Safra takes away
from the figure that the Tana gives him. He takes away 48. So if the Tana, again, if the Tana tells him it's now something 68, then he knows that it's now something 20. Right. Okay.
Can we try?
Let's try it with this year, for example. So this year is 5778 since creation. So let's start with, so we know the year since creation. What year is it the story? So the sofer will ask, the sofer wants to write the story, will ask us, we'll tell him it's something 78. He will subtract 48 from that, and he'll know now it's something 3. Again, we expect he knows the centuries. It happens to be 23. So now he'll know he has to write the year 2330 in his shtat. And as far as the churban, then what we have is the Tana who's teaching the Braisa before about the churban, about how many years is it since the churban. He will ask the sofer. The sofer will tell him that, again, that this year is 2330. So he'll say, okay, never mind the 2300. It's 30. 30 plus 20 is 50. Therefore, I know it's something 50 since the Churban. And it turns out, once you add back in the centuries, it's the year 1950 since the Churban now. So that's how it would work. So that's how you would convert between these different eras. Okay, now let's flip to the next page of this table, because now we're going to talk about how to calculate what year of Shemitah is. And this one ends up being a little bit controversial among the Rishonim. You have three different opinions that I put over here, and there are actually even more than that, how to understand the next piece of Gemara. Okay. Omer upon a breder of Yeshua. Hai mandala yoda kamishni b'shavua hu'ay. Nowadays it's very simple. Nowadays you can just pull out a pocket calculator and calculate these things, and that's it. Okay. Hai mandala yoda kamishni b'shavua hu'ay. If a person does not know what year of the Shemitah cycle is it now, what you do is like this. So first let's learn how Rashi is. Here's a little bit of background. We have you can see on the first two lines over here under Rashi, you have two basic facts that we need to know. The second Beis HaMikdash began being built in the year 3408. They didn't, according to most opinions, they didn't start counting Shemitahs and Yovels then. 6 years later, Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael in the year 3414, and then he was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael again, and he began over the Shemitah and Yovel cycle there. So that
they didn't count them in 3408.
Because at that point they hadn't yet, because the Eretz Yisrael had lost its kedusha according to many opinions, and this is actually the halacha. Eretz Yisrael had lost its kedusha after the churban by tradition, and in order for it to regain its kedusha, they needed an official declaration of the Sanhedrin. You can't count Shemitah unless there's kedusha, right?
Then you look to the
Rambam
about bringing a carbon to the place
where the Yes, indeed. So that was in connection with this also. When we're saying, when we said over there that Ezra was Mekadesh Yerushalayim again, and he was Mekadesh the Azara, we learned about that in Shavuos, exactly. To be Mekadesh the Azara, he actually didn't need to do, and to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim, we learned in Shavuos, actually, he didn't really do Yerushalayim and the Azara. He did Yerushalayim as a symbolic thing, but not really, because they didn't have the Urim Batumim, and they didn't have a king, and so forth, and they just did it as a symbolic thing. But Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash keep their Kedusha even when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, because the Rambam explains the Kedusha of them is based on the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah is always there. As opposed to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael depends on the Jewish people having conquered it. So once it was conquered away from them by the Babylonians, then it lost its Kedusha. Okay, now you have two different opinions how you count Shemitahs and Yovels. You have the Chachamim and you have Rabbi Yehuda. We know that Yovel is every 50 years. But the Chachamim hold it literally every 50 years. In other words, so you have like this. So you start at some point, you have year one of Shemitah, then year two, etc. Year seven is Shemitah. Year 14 is Shemitah. 21, 28, etc. Eventually you get to 49. 50 is Yovel. Fine, that part everybody agrees. But now, the Chachamim say that year 50 does not belong to any Shemitah cycle. The next Shemitah is going to be 7 years later, not in the year 56, but in the year 57, say the Chachamim.
The year 6.
So in other words, you're going to have
0 to 49,
then 50 is Yovel. It doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. Right. Then you have 51 is the beginning of a new cycle, 51, 52, 53, etc., till 57, and that's the next Shemitah.
Right.
Then 64, 71, etc., till 99, and the year 100 is Yovel. And so forth. So it comes out, according to the Chachamim, if you divide the years by centuries, you never have anything extra. You always have a century is exactly 2 Yovelus long. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Yovel...
You
have the Yovel in the year 50, and you have the next one in the year 100.
Right, so...
Yeah. The Shemitah is in the first time... Shemitah is every 7 years. So 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49.
Right.
But then you have a break. So therefore, there you have a break because of Yovel. So then the next one is 57, 64, 71, etc. One more than dividing by 7. That's a Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yovel takes place every 49, meaning that he says that the Yovel is not only the Yovel, it's also the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle. So according to him, therefore, so the first Yovel is in the year 50, but then the Shemitah after it is in the year 56.
Less than 60 years for every Yovel.
Because he says that, so that's fine. He says that what it means is the Yovel, each Yovel is the end of the previous cycle as well as the beginning of the new one. So he says that's what the Torah means when it says every 50 years. So therefore,
it's 49 years.
So there's 49 years in between. So therefore, you have that the year 50 is Yovel the first time around, but then you have the next time the year, then you have 56 as the next Shemitah, because 7 years after 49, then 63, 70, etc., until 98, and 99 is Yovel. And so, sort of, you heard that the Yovel gradually slips behind the Chachamim. Okay.
That's why they adopted this?
Well, that's, you have different opinions about it. Who the halacha is like is a whole other issue, by the way. On the face of it, the halacha ought to be like a chachamim. It usually is, a chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, our Gemara clearly shows that we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Because the calculation the Gemara is going to give us fits only according to Rabbi Yehuda. That you have 2 extra years in every century. According to the chachamim, you don't have any extra years in any century. You have the 1 Yovel in the year 50, 1 in the year 100, and that's it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have 2 extra years because you have a cycle of 49, another cycle of 49, and you have 2 extra years left over. The calculation the Gemara is going to give us works only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you have different opinions among the Rishonim. The Rambam, for example, paskins that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, we do like the Chachamim. We make the Yovelus interrupt the Shemitahs. When the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the Rambam says, in principle, the Halacha should still be like the Chachamim. However, he says the Bnei Eretz Yisrael have a strong tradition that goes back hundreds of years when Shemitah is, and they go according to Rabbi Yehuda, and our Gemara also shows according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Rambam says when the Beis Hamikdash is not standing, then we follow Rabbi Yehuda.
What's the point?
What do you mean, what's the point?
What's the point of not keeping one system instead of switching?
So according to the Rambam, that's how it is. According to the Rambam, in principle, it should always be like the Chachamim. However, since we see the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, at least after the Churban, keep it this way without Yovelus, then that's what it is. The Rambam says the fact that people do Halacha, the fact that people have a Masorah a certain way is a very powerful thing. So that's what it is. And then you have Rishonim who argue that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda all the time, even when the Mishnah is standing. Yeah, okay. All right.
But I don't see the point of, I understand that it's 2 days, but
because you can have the difference that Yovel is more, Yovel is more, because no, Yovel could be more applicable when the Bismuth is standing than when it's not. I mean, technically, Yovel, in its full sense, only applies when most of the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. But
I mean, say something.
No, but you could still have, some of the Rishonim even learn that maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda when the Bismuth is not standing. They would only disagree with him when the Bismuth is standing. Yeah, that's some of the Rishonim learn that way. So Rashi understands it as follows. Again, now one more detail that's important. It's not really so much in our Gemara over here. Rashi and Tosfos both refer to it though. Is the Gemara talks about an Erchin? The year that the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed was the year after a Shemitah year. So therefore, let's first make the calculation according to where Rashi said it. So look over here on the paper. So you see over here, okay, so Ezra began the cycles of Shemitah and Yovel beginning in the year 3414. So Rabbi Yehuda's first Yovel, therefore, is in 3463, and then 49 years after that, and etc. Eventually, you have the last one before the Churban is in the year 3806. The year of the Churban, we said on Amud Aleph, was 3828. So that is the 22nd year of the Yovel cycle. It's the 22nd year of the Yovel cycle, and 22 divided...
minus
28, minus 6, yeah. 22 divided by 7 gives us a remainder of 1. So therefore, that means that there is a year after Shemitah as a tribute. So that's how Rashi learns that our Gemara is going to be telling us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in its 420th year, which is the year 3828. And therefore, we make a calculation as follows, the Gemara says. So now, again, you want to know what year of the Shemitah cycle are you in. Let's go back to the Gemara. Nitfi Chad Shatza. What you do is like this. You take what number year it is according to the Churban. The reason why I worked out an example over here using the year 5015, because that's the example that Tosfos uses. So let's say, for example, if you have the year 5015, would be the year 1187 of the Churban. So the first thing you do, the Gemara says, is you add 1 to that. So you get 1188.
5,015,
since creation is 1187 of since the Churban, according to Rashi. So now what you do is like this. So, Nitfi Chad Shatza. So you take that figure, you add 1 to it. So now you have 1188, for example. How do you divide it by 7? Now, nowadays, you would just pull out a pocket calculator and divide 1188 by 7, but since they didn't have that another time, the Nishnal Mimeyatre, we take, for every 100 years, we take 2, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have 2 extra years in every 100. The Nishtia Prati, add it to the tens and the units. So therefore, here, that's what you have then on the next line over here. So if you have, you're taking 2 per century for 1150 years, so 1100 years, 11 times 2 is 22, another 1 for the 50 years, so that's 23. In other words, that there'd be a difference of 20. In other words, that in those 1150 years, you would have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have 23 extra years that would belong to a new Yovel cycle, according to Rabbi Yehuda. You add that to, you started with 1188, so minus 1150, you have 38. You add together 23 plus 38, you have 61. V'nachshavinu l'prati b'shavui, then what you do is you take that total, 23 plus 38, because you had 1188. 23 plus 38 is 61. The 38 is because we had 1188, and now we said 1150 of it we disposed of, so now we're left with 38. So we have 23 from the number of yovels that are in those years. We have 38 from the remaining years, so that makes 61. Divide this figure that you got by 7, so 61 modulo 7 equals 5 in this case. And then you know what year in the Shemitah cycle you are. So therefore, according to this, it would come out, in other words, again, using Tosfos' example of the year 5015, it would come out, according to Rashi's understanding of the Sugya, it means that year is the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. So that cycle began in the year 5011, so 11 is the first year, 12 is the second year, etc., 15 is the fifth year. So that means the previous Shemitah before that was 5010. It means closer to our time, the last Shemitah would have been in the year 5773, Tavshin Ayin Gimel. Now, we didn't do that. We had a Shemitah in Tavshin Ayin Hay. So we don't go, but on the face of it, we're not going according to what Rashi is saying. But wait, we'll get back to that point too. So that's Rashi's calculation of what our Gemara means. Then you have Tosfos' understanding. Tosfos points out like this. Again, you have two different opinions how the Yovels work. You have the Chachamim and you have Rabbi Yehuda. And if you go according to Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily do we say that they waited until Ezra showed up. The Gemara in Erechin, which discusses this point, says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it may well be that they began the Shemitah and Yovel cycle right when the second Beis Hamikdash was built. That year was the first year.
That changes everything.
That changes a lot, right. So therefore, it comes out, therefore, so according to the Chachamim, the last Yovel before the Churban was in 3814.
Right.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was in 3800.
Right.
And now let's turn to the next page. Tosfos also has another wrinkle, which is, they say, Rashi is saying that the Churban was in the year 420 of the Beis Hamikdash. So if it was built in 3408, then the Churban was in 3828. Tosfos says, no, the Beis Hamikdash stood 420 complete years and some months. So it was destroyed in the year 3829, 1 year later than Rashi.
Not
3828, but 3829. Now, so that was, it was either according to the Chachamim or according to the Yehuda. It turns out it was the year after Shemitah, because according to the Chachamim was the 15th year of a Yovel cycle, and that divided by 7 gives a remainder of 1. According to the Yehuda, it was the 29th year, same thing. the main point is that Tosfos says the calculation, Tosfos makes two other changes to the calculation that Rashi makes. First of all, Tosfos does not have the girsa that you add one. Unlike Rashi, who said you take the number of years of the korban and add one, Tosfos doesn't have that. Number two, Tosfos says you're not basing yourself on the number of years since the korban, you're basing yourself on the minyan shtaris. You're basing yourself on what the sofer writes in his document. And they bring a girsa from Rabbeinu Hananel that it's not that you just take two for every 100 years. You do that to divide by seven. It's true, but also what you do is first you either add two or subtract five. Oh, sorry, the other way around. Subtract two to the year of Minyan Shtaris or add five, they say. So what you do is like this then. Again, so let's work out how they would do it with the year 5015, which is the example that they give. So if the year of the Churban, the year 3829, which according to them is the year of the Churban, that was the year 381, the Shtaris, because it said Shtaris began in 3448, so this is the year 381. So the year 5015 then would be the year 1567 of Shtaris. So you take 1567, you either subtract 2 from it, which gives you 1565, or you add 5, which gives you 1572. Either way, it's the same thing. They're 7 apart, so either way, you'll get the same calculation. Again, you take, what you do is you divide that down by 7 by taking 2 for every century. So 1550 years, you get 31, because 15 centuries, you got 30 extra years. 50 years, you got 1 extra, so you got 31. Again, you add together the 31 plus the remaining 15, because you have 1565 and you're taking 1550 from it. So you have left 15, so that gives you 46. Divide it by 7, you get a remainder of 4. And that tells us, therefore, that the year we're talking about, 5015, is the year 4 of Shemitah. Not like Rashi said that it was the year 5, but rather Tosfos now explains that Gemara could be saying that it's the year 4, which makes the Shemitah, therefore, 1 year later than Rashi made. Still not what we do nowadays, but close. Now we have a third opinion. The Rambam has yet another understanding of our Gemara, which is, again, the Rambam agrees that you're not adding one extra year to the years, to the years, like Rashi said. On the other hand, he's doing like Rashi and saying you're counting from the years of the Churban. The Rambam understands like this. I forgot to mention before, one other wrinkle in all of this is, aside from all these different three eras that we talked about before, Minyan Shtaris, and since creation, and since the Churban, you also have a wrinkle. How do we count years since creation? One way of looking at it, the way we do nowadays, is called that we count from Baharad. Baharad is the molad of the Tishrei that would have been almost a year before Hashem started creating the world. Hashem started creating the world Chaf Eilul. The imaginary Tishrei, before that, the molad of it would have been on Monday, 5 hours, 204 Chalukah. We call it Baharad.
Why?
So why would we count that one? Because the last 5 days of it were real days. The Chaf Elul, Hashem actually created the world. Chaf Vav Elul, he actually separated the waters, etc. So those days have to be part of a year. So we call that the year one. We call the Rosh Hashanah that Adam was created, we call it the beginning of year two, and so forth. That's the way we do nowadays.
The Chaf Elul to Rosh Hashanah is year one?
It's year one, right. And then from there, you have 4 years. That's one way.
That's not a year.
That's not a year, but it's Yom Echad Hashanah, Chosh Hashanah. Even one day in a year can be considered a year. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it, then, is, which according to many Rishonim is the way, and according to the Rambam, among others, is the way they did it in the times of the Gemara, is they counted from the year that Adam was created. The moil of that year was on Friday, 14 hours in the day, Vayad it's called for short. So therefore, so we count. In other words, the year that had the Chaf Hei, Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin, or whatever, we'll call that year zero. We'll ignore it. The year that Adam was created, we'll call year one. The year after that is year two, and so forth. We nowadays count according to the first way. So one way of looking at it, therefore, is when the Gemara said on Amud Aleph, for example, that the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 3828, that could be according to the second way of counting. We would nowadays call it 3829.
So we would have an extra year.
So we would have an extra year. So in fact, you were asking before, on the face of it, doesn't standard history say that the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 70? So the year 70 would have to correspond to 3830. So now, what's
3830?
Because the last figure of the Jewish year and the Goyish year. So the 2 years difference we'll get into soon. But for now, we have this that we're saying before, that the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 68. Not necessarily, it may have been in the year 69, what we would call nowadays the year 69, the year 3829. The Rambam learns that way. The Rambam learns, though, so, and the Rambam learns that that year itself was actually a Shemitah year. What about we're saying in Erchin that the year of the Beis Mikdash was destroyed with the year after a Shemitah? Sure. The Rambam learns what it is that the Rambam learns that what it means is since years from the Churban don't count from Tisha B'Av, they count from Tishrei, just like every kind of year. Therefore, it means the year one of the Churban was the year after a Shemitah year.
Because the year before was a Shemitah.
In other words. So the Rambam is saying that the Beis Mikdash was actually destroyed in 3829, same year as Tosfos is saying. However, we don't say that year was actually a Shemitah. The Rambam learns that the last Yovel before it was 3815, so that would have been the 14th year of a Yovel, which would be a Shemitah. The next year, year one of the era of the Churban, is the year 3830, which is a Matzei Shemitah. That's how the Rambam learns. So therefore, according to the Rambam, let's work it out. So now returning to our Gemara, you take the year of the Churban, it's the year 1186 according to the Rambam, not like Rashi, you said it was the year 1187. You don't add one, the Rambam doesn't have that in his Girsa either. You again divide it down by seven by taking 2 years per century for 1150 years, giving you the same 23 that Rashi said. You add the 36 that are left over, you're left with 50, you end up with 59, divide that by seven and you have a remainder of 3. So therefore, the year 5015 would come out to be not like Rashi that it's the year 5 of Shemitah, and not like Tosfos that it's the year 4, but rather the year 3. Therefore, it would come out the year 5012 was a Shemitah, and more recently, the year 5775, Tav Shanayin Hay, was a Shemitah, which is in fact what we do. So we go. So it's a difference of 2 years, according to the difference of 2 years from what Rashi says, and a difference of 1 year from what Tosfos says. So you have some. There are some Rishonim who argue again that maybe Rashi and Tosfos would agree with this business about the two different ways of counting. Are you counting from the year before Ma'aseh Bereishis or the year of? So maybe therefore Rashi's 3828 is really what we call 29, and Tosfos is 29 is really what we call 30. So maybe, you have those three different opinions. You have also, I didn't mention over here with the Baal HaMor, has yet another opinion. The Baal HaMor is one of the few Rishonim who actually places the Churban in the year 3830, which is the year 70. He explains, he basically goes like Tosfos, that it was destroyed in the year 3829, but he argues that that's according to Viyad, that's counting from when Adam was created, instead of from a year before it. The way we count it nowadays, we call it 3830. And therefore, he makes the rest of the calculation pretty much the same as Rashi and the Rambam do, that you count the years from the Churban, and therefore you wind up with the same figure as the Rambam does, where you wind up with Tav Shanayin Hay having been a Shemitah.
So the year of Tosfos is 3829.
Right.
The Rambam is also
3829, but the Rambam arrived at it in a different way.
Right.
And the Baal HaMor, Rashi's is 3828, and the Baal HaMor is 3830.
So it's
a 2 year difference. So now, yeah, 3830 corresponds to 70.
Right.
So according to the Baal HaMor, when the Goyim put in their chronologies, when they say that it was the year 70, that's actually true. Whereas according to Rashi, you might have to say it was 68, and according to Tosfos and the Rambam, you might have to say it was 69. I actually have a personal theory based on certain other events that happened during those years I have a personal theory that there are a number of events during that period that are misdated by 1 year in Goyish chronology. Not just the Churban, but also there's another event, for example, that happened about 30 years before the Churban, which based on certain other information, it seems to be a year different than we would place it.
Why was it
done? That's a good question. Where the mistake would have come from, I don't know. But I'll mention it briefly. The Gemara tells us in Sota that one time the Kohen Gadol heard a bas kol coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that the enemy who was trying to bring an idol into the Beis HaMikdash has been killed and the Gzeira is bottled. And the Gemara calls him by the name Gaskalgit. In secular history, it's known that about 30 years before the Churban, there was a Roman emperor, Caligula, Gaius Caligula, which is fairly similar to Gaskalgas, who tried to do that. He tried to have a statue of himself placed in Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews went on the Siddus Nefesh to try and prevent it, and people went to plead with the emperor. To make a long story short, eventually he was assassinated. And there, that fits with what the Gemara said. Well, he was assassinated by his guards, whatever, it's not important who assassinated him. The point is, Goyisha history places that near the end of January in the year 41. The thing is, in Megillas Tainis, it also tells the story, and it says that it happened on Chof Beis Shvat, coming up pretty soon. So now, if you look in a calendar, if you look January 24th, I think, or whatever, for year 41, doesn't come anywhere near Chof Beis Shvat. It comes out in Uri. It comes out corresponding to like Dalet or Hay Shvat or something.
Right.
On the other hand, if you look a year earlier, it comes out. It corresponds to about Chof Aleph Shvat, which, okay, you know, they had the calendar wasn't fixed
right.
then. So it seems to fit much better if you say that it was really what we would call the year 3800, which is 40 CE rather than 41. So that's my personal theory. I have a couple of other ideas about it. So by the same logic, therefore, the Goyim may have they call the year of the Korban the year 70, but we would really call it 3829, which is 69. Which again, according to Tosafos and the Rambam, that would be so. According to Rashi and according to the Baal HaMor, not necessarily. Now, okay, so in theory we should have, we should keep all these three possible years as Shemitah to be on the safe side. However, since almost all the Rishonim hold that Shemitah nowadays is only Dirabbanan, we don't do that. We only keep the one that the Rambam says, which he says is the one that they had traditionally in Eretz Yisrael. So nobody is choshish for the other one.
So according to the three different days, we're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash in the same time?
What do you mean? What is that? The third Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach comes, the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, and that's that. At that point, we'll clarify how many years it's been since the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We'll clarify a lot of things. We'll clarify a lot of things.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara and finish up this piece over here. Okay. So again, the point is, so again, we were saying that you're taking two for every 100 years, and according to Tosfos and Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa, you're either subtracting 2 years or adding 5 years to the number of minyan shtaris. The Simonach, the way to remember it is, as the Pasuk says, Kizesh Nasayim Harav V'Terav Aretz, you have 2 years of famine in the land. So that reminds you 2 years. According to Tosfos, the vote is, the whole Pasuk mentions there's been 2 years of famine so far, Yosef says to his family. There's another 5 years left to go. So therefore, that helps to remember that either you subtract two, as 2 years have already passed, or you add five that are still to come. So you have both two and five in the Pasuk. So then that's how you figure it out. Another thing that has to do with the years since the creation of the world and the years since the Korban, Amar Rav Chanina, 400 years after the Churban, so this we said before the Churban was in 3828, so this would be in the year 4228.
How long after the Churban?
This is 400 years. 400 years after the Churban, im yom v'chadam kach sada shava elef dinarim v'dinar akad, if somebody offers to sell you a field that is worth 100 dinarim, and they offer to sell it to you for only one dinar, so it's an amazing price, an amazing deal, lo tikach, don't buy it. Why not? Rashi says because that's a test. That is a time when Mashiach's coming. So why should you waste the dinner? Why should you waste the dinner on property outside of Israel when Mashiach's about to come? The Ritva actually has a different explanation of it. He says maybe on the contrary. Maybe what Reb Chanina is saying is don't buy it because it's going to be a time of such tzaras that it's going to be, what he says is actually, it is like Rashi says, it's a time that's destined that Mashiach could come. On the other hand, if he doesn't come then it's going to be a time of tremendous tzaras. And then buying real estate is not going to be a good investment because you're going to end up losing it anyway to the Goyim. And in fact, historically, Tosfos did point out, historically, we find in the Geras of Shur HaGoyim and other sources that period, approximately 400 years after the Churban, was a time of terrible persecutions on the Jews in Babel and in Persia. The Jewish children were being taken away from their families and raised as goyim. Shuls were being closed. Jewish leaders were being executed. So yes,
when was that?
This is so you're talking the secular year would be 468 or 469, whatever. So there was a period of very very strong persecution in Persia in the Persian Empire at that point.
The Persians
were doing that. Yeah.
They the world,
no, not the whole world, but they ruled over Babel, which is where most Jews in the world lived at that point. Okay, so anyway, so again, according to Rashi, the point is 400 years after the Churban of the Ketz, and therefore, why should you waste the dinner? According to the Ritva, the vort is that either Mashiach could come, or it could be a time of Tzaras, and either way, buying real estate is not a good idea. The Masnisa Tana, in a Braisa, we learn a similar, but not quite the same thing. Achar Abbas Alokum Wasayim Roshloshim Ba'achas Chanel of Riyasa Olam, in the year 4231 since creation, Then if they offer you this amazing deal, don't take it. So my benai, what's the difference in numbers between these two sources? The difference is 3 years. The masnita tafia tlashni. The mission, the brisa rather, is going 3 years over. Reb Chanina had said 400 years after the korban. Since we said before the korban was in 3828, at least on the surface, again without doing the various conversions which are adjustments we were talking about before, then 3828 plus 400 gives us 4228. The brightness is 4231, so it's a difference of 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's a difference of 3 years about the kitzim that they're saying. Tosfos, by the way, relates this to something that we learned in Sanhedrin, and that Eliyahu and Navi told Rabbi Yehuda that the world is going to last at least 85 yovelos, and beginning from the 85th yovel and on, Mashiach can come, the year 4228 or 4231 comes out a little bit past the middle of the 85th yovel.
What's going to happen then?
It's already long past. This is long past. This is in the time of the Gemara. This is now over 1,500 years ago. But at that point there was a catch. And because obviously we weren't so. So then in the end it ended up being a time of terrible persecution.
We had the discussion on whether Mashiach's time was fixed or it was.
So indeed, we talked about in Sanhedrin the question about Zohar and Achishena, that there's Zohar, Achishena lo Zohar be'itza, that there's a fixed time, but there can also be whenever the Yidden do tshuva. Indeed, there is that. And then among that, so you have different kishin. Achishena would mean it could happen immediately. And the line of B'derech HaTeva, whereas B'itza would be more B'derech HaTeva, and at the time that. So that's the thing. So we mentioned before on Amud Aleph that the world is capped at 6,000 years, although there was a different meaning that Mashiach has to definitely come by the year 6,000. Although there's a different source actually that says 6,093 instead, but okay. There is a Tanad Velio, I think, sort of something says 6,093, but whatever. There is a date that's known only to Hashem, which he told Yaakov Avinu, and then he wanted to tell his children, and Hashem hid it from him, and he told Daniel, and Daniel also wrote it down in a cryptic way and say for Daniel, but we don't understand it, right? Hashem told him to write it in a very cryptic way. So there's a certain deadline that Hashem has in mind, but we don't know what it is. You have different kitzim that have been given by different people, by different Gdolei Yisrael throughout the generations. We just had two in our Gemara over here, 4228 or 4231. Reb Sadia Goyen gave one, Rashi gave one, the Rabban gave one, the Rambam gave one, we know the Alter Rebbe gave one, different Gdolei Yisrael during different periods gave the different kitzim. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, you're not allowed to say, you're tipah hasman shamachash v'kitzim, you learn in Sanhedrin, that people who calculate kitzim should, it's also, and they should end up being disappointed and whatever. What we talked about over there, there's a difference between whether you calculate a ket and say, this is it, and if he doesn't come by that time, he's never going to come, chas v'shalom, versus saying, this is an opportune time, a likely opportune time for Mashiach to come.
What is the next now?
Well, 6,000 isn't quite up yet. We're in 5778. We still have 200 odd years to go. Right. But for example, you know, so different ones. We talked about in Sanhedrin that a number of these kitzim, big things did actually happen in those times. We just talked about the one from the time of the Gemara. Those, for example, Rebbe talks about someplace that the Rambam gave a ket, which at that time, where the Rambam said that Nebuah is going to be restored to the Jewish people, and at that time you had Reb Yehuda HaChassid and Reb Ezra HaNavi and a number of other Rishonim who had powerful Ruach HaKodesh approaching the level of Nebuah. You have, for example, the famous thing the Alter Rebbe gave a ket for the year
Tov.
In that sense, yeah. I mean, so the Rambam was right about that. It wasn't the ultimate restoration of Nebuah that'll happen when Mashiach comes, but it was something of it. Something happened at that time. The Alter Rebbe gave a ketz for the year Tov Reish Ches, 1848. First of all, there's the famous story that Lakuta Torah was published that year, and therefore when the Rebbe Maharash asked what happened to the ketz, Tzemach Tzedek tells him, so Lakuta Torah was published, and the Rebbe Maharash says, yes, well, we need Mashiach L'matam HaShadot Tzvachim, yeah. But he didn't answer. But also that year, there were tremendous revolutions and upheavals throughout Europe. There was another ketz for the year Tov Reish Samach Vav, 1906. So in that year, there were also revolutions throughout Russia, and they came very near to toppling the Tsar. But you also had, unfortunately, pogroms at that time. But you also had, in terms of Chassidus, the Rebbe Rashab started saying Hemshech Samach Vav, which is the basic exposition of Chassidus. So you have different kisim when things happen at those times, not necessarily all positive things, but things that show that it was an ace gula, it was a time when something was supposed to have happened. The ultimate something being Mashiach, but in the end it happened in the lesser. Something happened in the lesser. I don't know exactly. I don't think there were any kitzim specifically for those years. I don't know. I don't
know.
I don't think the Rebbe ever said in so many words that any of those are kept. I mean, there was actually. The Rebbe talked about how Topshin Nun was approaching. The Rebbe talked about that the Topshin Nun, if you figure each millennium corresponds to a day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, then it comes out to 5,750, which is a quarter of a millennium before the end of it comes out to Chatzos on Erev Shabbos, which is already the time when you start feeling Shabbos. We never talked about that in those years. Again, obviously Mashiach didn't come, but that was the period when communism collapsed all over the world. So again, big things happen, but short of Mashiach come.
But what's troubling is they never, according to what you're saying, nobody anticipated that there would be two world wars.
I'm not saying nobody anticipated. I'm just saying that that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that I don't know that anybody said there's a ketz for that time. There's a difference between saying that something's going to happen and saying there's a ketz, that there's a certain time that's opportune for Mashiach to come. I don't know. There may have been kitzim that were associated with the world wars. I don't know of them. I don't know of every ketz out there that was ever proposed by Gdol Yisrael. I'm just mentioning some.
But you know, our Rebbes did not.
In general, our Rebbes did not go in for announcing kitzim. The one from the Alter Rebbe, the Chapter Yishchet, and the one that the Rebbe Rashab talked about Samach Vav, and the one that our Rebbe talked about Topshin Nun. As far as I know, those are the only ones. I don't know of any others. And even then, except for the Alter Rebbes, I don't know that they've said in so many words this is a ketz. I don't know. Okay. So we'll stop here and then continue tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll get to Yom Gnusia. Is that the plan?
Say what? So we got to the bottom line of Pesach and Beis. Ahushtara.
No, I'm saying tomorrow. Like you think by in between Mincha and
Ma'ariv. Oh, tomorrow we'll be back. Tomorrow we'll be between Mincha and Ma'ariv as it usually is on Friday. Yeah.
And only like you'll get to Yom Gnusia like at most.
Probably yeah. We'll probably get only as far as Yom Gnusia or thereabouts. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Matzah Shabbos. Well, then Matzah Shabbos. We'll learn at our usual time, 8:30, and we'll try to cover some ground then.
Right. All right. Have a good Shabbos. Sure.
Shabbos. Yeah.